Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. The Bible says, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now this true witness that's in this text that delivers souls is contrasted with the deceitful witness that lies. And in terms of the fact that you and I are witnesses, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, then a deceitful witness will not tell a lost sinner the truth of the negative side of the gospel. And so he'll be a deceitful witness. I mean, in other words, he may tell him the truth about the love of God, about the crucifixion, even about the resurrection. But he'll be a deceitful witness if he doesn't tell him the whole truth. If he doesn't tell him the negative side of the gospel, then there's going to be a problem. Because one of two things is going to happen. If the fellow gets saved, he'll be crippled. Or if he makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and he's not saved, then he's going to have a false profession of faith. You say, what are you talking about? That verse right there, Proverbs 14:25, says, "The true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." Today, you've got a lot of men that are preaching. They are. They're in their pulpits. And they get up there, and they open the Bible, and they say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they talk to their people, and by the time they finish, they have not told those people one time in a long time how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. They may say, "You got to receive Him." They may say, "Pray with me about receiving Jesus Christ," but they may not ever give them a full witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you know what you got? You got a cripple, or you got a fellow with a false profession of faith. Now, please understand something before I continue. We don't retread Christians. Now, you may not be familiar with that term, but what that term essentially means is, if you've already been saved, we're not going to preach you under conviction so that you feel like you got to get saved again so that we can say, "Hey, we led another soul to Jesus Christ." If you're saved, you're saved. And you don't need to get saved again. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that we've had the opportunity to talk with who somewhere along the way had somebody tell them something about praying a prayer, who assumed that they'd gotten saved, but their lives never changed. Nothing ever happened. No regenerating power of the Holy Spirit within. And then one day, under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord made it abundantly clear that they weren't saved. The Holy Spirit of God brought them to conviction, and they truly received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they said, "You know what? I wasn't saved back then." Please don't get that confused with somebody that gets saved and just lives for the world for a while and is in a backslidden condition. There are people like that. But there are a good many of folks who have been given a real positive, upbeat message and then just asked to pray a prayer at the end of that upbeat message that never got saved. They heard all the good things about a good God and never heard about hell, about sin, about death, or anything else associated with sin in their lives. And so, consequently, it's like trying to hook your car up to a positive battery cable and trying to start that thing without being hooked up to the negative. It will not start. You got to have both. A true witness will tell a soul the truth, the whole truth. Not just part of it, the whole truth. You know, if you get in the stand and you're told to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you withhold part of the truth, then you've lied because you told them you were going to tell them the whole truth, and you didn't. We held evidence that would have convinced the jury another way. Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That, listen, the poor soul you're dealing with needs to know everything so they don't really know what's really going on. And a true witness will tell him. A true witness will tell him the bad news and the good news. and modern preachers neglect this. So do some of the cults. People have been approached by Jehovah's Witnesses, and they think they're hearing something really good because the Jehovah's Witnesses are good with the family and other things like that. But listen, if they tell you that there's no hell, they've left out a very important piece of the puzzle. Because in fact, there is a hell. And Jesus preached more on that than he did on heaven. Look, if you want to be a true witness and not a deceitful witness, then you got to tell them the whole story, and we're going to tell you what it is right now. You see, what happens with a deceitful witness is they know there's some bad news, but they try to trick the person that they're talking to into praying a prayer. And you know, honestly, I believe that's done more to be able to come back to the rest of the church and report that you led a soul to Christ. I believe that's done more to put a stripe on your sleeve than it is to wait for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to show them their need of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one testimony to make that abundantly clear, and then we're going to go through and give you the true witness that needs to be given that will deliver souls. A while back, we had a Japanese exchange student that lived with us. And she was a Rotary exchange student, and she came and lived with us for about 6 months. Very delightful. We brought her to church. And a lady who had been trained to lead souls to the Lord by just quickly saying, hey, you need Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it to heaven. Wouldn't you like to get to heaven? Why don't you pray with me to receive Jesus Christ? I mean, within 5 minutes, you get a convert. And somebody, quote unquote, led her to Jesus in that real quick manner and then reported to me that this little girl had gotten saved. I didn't say anything. In my own spirit, I kind of doubted that, but, you know, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to burst her bubble. And so when we got back to the house, I asked the exchange student that was living with us if she understood anything at all that had been done when she was at church and prayed with this lady, and she said no. And I said, well, all right, let's do something. Well, I said, the lady was very good intentioned. She wanted you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said, do you understand anything about what that is for? She said no. I said, okay, do you have a Bible? She said, yes. She had parents back in Japan. One was Catholic and the other was Buddhist. And she said that her mother had given her a Bible to bring with her when she came to the States. All right, that's good. I said, let me ask you to do something then. I said, if you would like to know a little bit more about what you're hearing, do this. Every night before you go to bed, pray and ask God this. If you are real, please reveal yourself to me. And if Jesus Christ is the Savior, please reveal that to me. Open your Bible, begin to read, and ask the Lord to show you what you're reading so that you can understand it. And do that every day. And then keep coming to church, and let's see what happens. Now, that kind of witness will appeal very well to an Oriental mind because they like to find out a lot of things for themselves. Consequently, after 2 months of faithfully attending church and reading the Bible and praying for Jesus Christ to reveal himself to her, if in fact he was real, one day on a Sunday evening after church, back at the house, she was sitting at the kitchen table in tears. And I said, what's the problem? And she said she wanted to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I said, why? And she said, because if I don't, I'm going to go to hell. I said, whatever gave you the idea that you'd wind up in hell? She said, because I've been reading that in my Bible and because I've been hearing that in the preaching and I don't want to go there. I said, well, what makes you think that you would go there? She said, because I've not received Jesus Christ as my Savior and he's the only way out. I said, yeah, that's true. So we went through and we talked a little about what I'm going to show you today. But you see the difference there? After a couple of months of praying and reading the Bible, listening to the preaching, this little girl came to the clear conclusion that without the Lord Jesus Christ, she would not make it, that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'll tell you what, when she received the Lord Jesus Christ, the next day she called her parents to tell them that she had received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. They weren't happy about that. She was invited to go back to the exchange student club, and where she was there to report on the things that she had learned in the United States of America. She thanked God publicly that he had brought her to the United States because this is where she had found Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then she preached to him. to let them know they needed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That was an outstanding testimony of the regenerating work of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit in her life. But it came because she got a true witness, and a true witness will deliver souls. Now, what's a true witness? Well, in the gospel, there are five things that you would have to know in order to know for sure that you were going to heaven. And a good question to ask anybody is, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? That's a great question to ask because religious people aren't sure. They hope so. They want to go. They're counting on it. But they don't know for sure. There's no assurance of salvation in any religion. And the religions are designed that way to keep you coming back. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? The answer is usually no, I don't know, you can't know, I hope so, I think so. But rarely, unless you're talking to a real Christian, would they ever say yes, absolutely, 100% sure. And if they do and you're just curious as to what they're depending on, you could even ask them, if you're sure, then what are you depending on to get you to heaven? And that'll reveal a lot to you. I've asked them a time before, I'll say, if you were to die tonight and you were to stand before God, and he asked you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? That's a good question to ask. What would you say? I asked a fellow that believed that he had assurance of salvation, and he said, well, because I prayed the prayer. He's talking about somebody, you know, leading him quickly to Jesus Christ. Because I prayed the prayer, because I'm a good person, because I go to church, and because I pray. Now, that doesn't sound like the testimony of a saved man. That sounds like a man that has prayed a prayer that was designed to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, and he stuck that in his bag with other things like his good works and his devotion to the Lord and hoped that the whole bundle would get him to glory. And it doesn't work like that. Listen, once a person has been asked whether they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven tonight or not, or what they're depending on to get them there, they're wide open to find out that there are five things they need to know for sure to be able to say, yes, I know 100% for sure that I'm going to heaven. And three of those things are negative, and I don't mean just a little bit. They are terribly negative. Three are negative and two are positive. And you know, that would be the gospel anyway, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ died. That's negative. That he died for sinners. That's negative. That he was buried. That's negative. And that he went to hell. That's negative. And that he rose again from the dead. That's positive. You see, the gospel is more negative than it is positive, and when you leave the negative side out, you are cutting out something that the Holy Spirit came to do. The Holy Spirit came to this world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, of sin. And when you don't deal with sin, and you don't deal with the consequences of sin, you cut off the work of the Holy Spirit that he came to do in trying to lead souls to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and away from the judgment of God. So the first thing you talk to and tell them, look, if you want to know for sure, 100% sure that you're going to heaven tonight, if you were to die, then here's what you need to know. Number one, you need to know you're a sinner. We're talking about a true witness that delivers souls. This will do it. You're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I know the Romans road. This won't be the Romans road. It'll go farther than that. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, people, I've had three people in all the years that I've been trying to lead souls to Jesus Christ tell me that they weren't sinners. And after just a little bit of exposure to the Bible, 5-10 minutes, before that, they admitted that they were sinners. There's not a person that I've ever dealt with that didn't admit that. And it's sort of innocuous. It doesn't feel like anything. Well, of course, everybody's sinners, they'll say. No. That Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, first of all, to be a sinner, people have to understand what sin is. Now, you could go through a long litany if you want to, but come to the point. The greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And if a person does not love the Lord Jesus Christ or God with all their heart, and all their soul and all their mind, then they've broken the greatest commandment. Greater than thou shalt not kill. Greater than thou shalt not bear false witness. Greater than thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the greatest commandment in the Bible. And if you break that commandment, you are the greatest sinner. I asked a lady one time up in her 50s. I said, how many times a day do you think it is that you have not loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, because your mind was on something else and your heart's affection were turned toward your children instead of the Lord. Oh, she said, I'm sure at least 5 times a day. Well, okay, that's good. It's more than that, but 5 times a day, I'll buy that. Times 365 days a year is 1,800 a year. And let's say you started sinning when you're 10 years old. You've been doing that for 40 years. That is 72,000 sins against the greatest commandment, not including any of the other commandments and any other the definitions of sin in the Bible. You've got 72,000 sins in your bag, and you're only 50 years old. Now, you see, that doesn't sound very charitable. It doesn't sound very nice. Well, believe me, I'll come to the point. I don't intend to be rude. And maybe I'm being just a little bit tougher with you than I would be with the soul. But the point is, they got to know they've got 72,000 sins of one variety in the bag that they're loading down and carrying with them, hoping to pass the judgment of God. That's what a sinner is. There are things that you don't even know that are sins that are in the Bible. Listen, if a man has a good intention and doesn't follow through on it, the Bible says, if a man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wow. How many times did you miss that one? The Bible says the transgression of the law is sin. You ever breaking any laws? Roll through a stop sign when you should have stopped? Or anything else like that? Just add all that stuff up. I gave you two. There are a bunch of definitions. The thought of foolishness is sin. How many foolish thoughts do you have during the day? Daydreaming? It's sin, the Bible says. All right, now look. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need to move on with this. I'm going to sit here and talk to you like I'm trying to lead a soul to Jesus Christ and take all the time away and never even get to the end of this thing. Come short of the glory of God. Here's the deal. You're on one side of a ditch and God's on the other side. And every sinner that ever makes a running leap, it doesn't make any difference where he falls in on this side of the ditch because he's such a bad sinner, or falls in on the other side of the ditch because he's such a good sinner. The point is, he falls short. And if I fall in on this side and drown in the water and you fall in on the other side because you're much better than I am and drown, the truth is we both drown because we both come up short. Why? Jesus Christ is sinless, never sinned a day in his life. And listen, if you sin once, you're short of the glory of God because he never sinned. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You're a sinner. First thing. Second thing, sins have to be paid for. Romans 6:23. I'll abbreviate this to come to the point so you'll understand how it goes. In Romans chapter 6, 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and there's two kinds of death, the death of the body and the death of the soul. The wages of sin is death. You know, it's funny, but people realize they're sinners. They'll try to pay for sin. I remember when I grew up in the Catholic Church, we used to go to penance, and we'd say 3 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys and whatever else they told us to say and do, in order to pay for our sins. And you know what that's like? That's like you going to the bank and borrowing $20,000 to buy a pickup truck and then making your first payment in potatoes. Let me see you take those potatoes and put those down on the banker's desk and said, take this for my first payment. He won't do it. Why? He loans you money and he wants you to give you money back. He wants you to give him money back. He doesn't want potatoes. And when you try to do penance in order to pay for sins, God won't accept that. Why? The only thing that God will accept in the payment for sin is death. The graveyards are full of dead people because they're sinners. They're sinners. You will die because you're a sinner. You say, how'd you know I was a sinner? Because you're going to die. That's the death of the body, but that's not all. There's also the death of the soul, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Now, the list includes a lot of things: the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. But look at this word right here. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, it was bad enough that your body died. Now your soul's going to die. And the soul's going to die, what's called the second death, for doing any one of the sins that are in that list. And some of you are in there 3 or 4 times. But there's one person in that list that covers everybody on this earth. It says all liars. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's the Bible. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That includes you. That includes you. Every man a liar. You know what? You're heading for a lake of fire because you've lied and that lie that you told revealed your character as a liar. And all liars, you're not accepted. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you're a sinner, short of the glory of God, required to pay a payment of death, and the second death, which is the death of the soul, in a lake of fire to burn forever. And that's not all. There's one other thing about the gospel that's negative. That is, you're going to face a judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. The judgment. You're going to stand before God and give account of everything you've done in the life that you've lived. And that judgment of God will be thorough. He'll judge your thoughts. He'll judge your secrets. He'll judge your words. He'll judge your actions. He'll judge your motives. That's all in there. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul said in Romans 2:16, things that nobody else knows. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You got to give account of all of it. And you know something? You know there are things that you've done that nobody else in this world knows. And when you stand before God and look at the list, you're going to see on that list the two or three things that nobody else knows. And you'll know whoever compiled that list has all the goods on you. You'll never pass that judgment. Not with God. You know why? Because he's not going to compare you to the mob. He's not going to take this mob of people and bring them all up there and then find a convenient dividing line right in the middle and say, okay, all you people on this side of the line, you get to go to heaven. That fills the places. All you guys on the other side of the line, you go to hell. He's not going to grade on the curve where you think you can get in because you're better than somebody else, and he's not going to grade your good works against your bad works. Some people think there's a scale there, and God puts all the good works on one side and your sins on the other side, and if the good works outweigh the sins on the other side, you get to go in. That's a lie from the devil. You're not going to get to go in like that because that's not God's judgment. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's going to bring Jesus Christ, the sinless Savior, into the room and stand you up next to him, and he's going to compare you to Jesus Christ. And if your righteousness is not equal to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not pass that judgment. And you know something? If we were to stop right there and there was nothing else to the gospel, there's not a person on this earth that could make it to heaven. Not one, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that when you're without Christ, you're without hope. That at that time you were without Christ, and then going on down to the end of the verse, having no hope and without God in the world. People say, well, I hope so. You don't have a chance. You don't have a hope in the world of making it to heaven as a sinner required to make the payment in death, and the death of the soul, who's going to stand before God and give an account at the judgment by comparing yourself not to anybody else on this earth and not to your good works versus your bad, but to Jesus Christ and nobody else. You don't stand a chance. Now you see why people don't want to give that true witness? Because who wants to tell a sinner of the terrible condition that they're in? Nobody. You see how negative that is? That doesn't fit this modern positive thinking generation at all. But that's the true witness, because that's exactly what God said their condition is. Now, the true witness won't stop with just the negative, because we don't get any pleasure out of telling people that they're going to die to pay for their sins and spend an eternity in hell because they came short of the glory of God and couldn't pass the judgment in being equal to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's terrible news. You see how silly it is for a self-righteous sinner to think that his righteousness will compare equally with the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Why, that's an offense to the work of God. But that's not all. The positive, there's good news. You have a substitute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says very plainly, God made Jesus, that's the Bible says, he made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. See, he was sinless, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, you have a substitute. He took your sins in his own body on the tree. Didn't you learn earlier tonight that the wages of sin is death? Jesus Christ never sinned. Then what was it that killed him? If he never sinned, he wouldn't have died. But the truth of the matter is, he took our sins in his own body, and it wasn't the spear, and it wasn't the nails, and it wasn't the hanging that killed him. It was our sin that killed him. He took our sins in his own body on the tree, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. That's what killed him. And as a result, he went to the grave because that's the death that we were supposed to have as sinners. The wages of sin is death. He took that for us. Then he went to hell for 3 days and three nights. That's the second death. That's where we're supposed to go. According to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we're waiting on the lake of fire. And he went there for us. He took your place. Then he arose, proving that he beat your four worst enemies. He beat sin. He beat death. He beat hell. And he beat the devil. And he did it all for you. He substituted for you. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Everything you're facing as a result of sin, he took. He took the sin, and he took the consequences of the sin away. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He did that for you according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That's good news. But the last good news, the fifth thing, is that you can receive him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. I'll tell you what, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what happens? He removes your sins and gives you his righteousness. You get a clean slate in your soul that you get to present at your judgment before God. Oftentimes I'll take the pages of my Bible and I'll open them up and I'll say, this is the book, and I'll name the sinner that I'm talking to. You see all the black dots on the page? Those are your sins. The white stuff are the days that you did good. Then I'll open up another page in the Bible that doesn't have a mark on it. I'll say, there's the sinless, righteous life of Jesus Christ right there. Now, which account do you want to present to God? Your old sinful life or that white, clean page of Jesus' righteousness right there? If you'll receive Jesus Christ, he will give you that clean, white record and take away those sins, and you'll be justified when God judges you. He'll find you not guilty, and that's good news. Now listen, if you want to be a true witness and deliver souls, like Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25 says, then what you're going to do is you're going to show people how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and show them why they need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior to get their poor souls out of hell and their bodies out of the grave. I wish I had more time to give you more information on this, but that's all I got. I'm praying that you'll use it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.